Good morning. It is exciting to be able to say that and have someone here to respond. So I'll say it again. Good morning. Now, I know you guys are going, how did he get so lucky to take off his mask? Well, one of the things, we don't want people passing out when they're up here singing or preaching. So if you don't want to wear a mask, you can sign up to preach at any time. All right? Sound good? Works for me. I am so glad that you guys are here with me this morning, and we are here to worship together. And I am so glad to see most of your faces, the most being that I can see most because your faces are all covered with masks, but it's great to have you guys here. And for those of you who are watching from home, welcome, and we thank you for being patient with us, and we hope to really see you back here soon. God has certainly made us to be in relationship, and the last 3-4 months has proven that, because there have been so many people hurting and desiring to be together that that they're willing to do just about anything to do so. And we are glad that you're back here today, and we are back here with him to worship him today. So we are today here to worship God the Father, Jesus the Son, and to rejoice in the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning. And we're going to worship God together, and it's an exciting time to do so. So let's pray together. Father God, as the worship team comes, I just want to just settle our hearts in around you. We thank you so much for this day that you've created for us. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together here in this place, to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. And so, Lord, I just ask that this would be a time that is pleasing to you. With all the chaos and craziness going on in the world around us, it's so good to be in your house today, where it's peaceful and your presence is. So, Lord, we come before you as a body of believers, doing the best we can with what we have, doing our best to love each other, to love ourselves, and to love those around us. And I just pray that you'll open up our lives today in such a way that we'll be able to rejoice in the love that we have found in you, and we can share it with the world around us. Because the world seems to be filling up more and more with hatred and disdain, and you want to give peace and love. And so, Lord, use us as your instruments to do so. In the wonderful name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and worship this morning.
be seated. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this beautiful day in which you've given to us. We just thank you for this time that we can be here together. And we just pray especially for the one who is going to break forth that word. And this we ask in your precious name. Amen.
Good morning, family. It's nice to see everybody. I've been asked to do praises and prayer concerns. It's huge. We have a lot of individuals right now, especially with our graduates. The shells have cracked. They've grown, and we're sending them off. So let's keep all of our graduates in prayer. Let's keep Harlan Bruner, Doris Burke, Esther Martin. You know, she's living and with her son. She's feeling well. Most of all, to our nation, as we're transitioning right now, let's try to keep them in prayer, especially our first responders. Every one of them is on the front lines, the police, law enforcement, first aid, fire departments. Please, let's keep Emily Dare in prayer, too. She's one of her fathers on the fire department here in town. She's fighting, and she's doing well. Keep our nation, as it seems we're dividing right now. Let's keep our nation in prayer. Our nation, I believe firmly, we're in a pivotal point right now, and it's the church body, and if we can come together collectively and keep our nation up in prayer. So I'll go with that, I'll pray, and we'll go from there. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for our pastoral teams. Oh, Lord, especially today, what a hard time. Please look after them. Guide them, oh, Lord, and protect them. Look after our nation as we're dividing. Help us to unite again, O Lord. Pull us back together. Help us, Lord, to become a nation fearful of God, willing to hear your voice, willing to hear your touch. Let our steps, O Lord, be guided from you. Let our mouths speak wisdom and clarity. And let our ears hear, Lord. Give us vision, O Lord, to the ones that need to hear your word and just need a touch. Help us, Lord, to be blessed and bless them. Most of all, Lord, guide the church today as we're coming together. Guide them, help heal us and strengthen us. Help the pastor give us wisdom and clarity, Lord. Let every word from his mouth be spoken in truth and wisdom and power, Lord. We ask these things in your awesome and mighty name, Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Wow, this is going to be weird. Do you realize it's been over 3 months since I've been able to preach to real people in the pews when it's like this? This is great. But what's crazy about all of that is, I don't know about you guys, but over the past several months, I've grown tired. And I've grown weary because it just seems like even though we're doing nothing, this seems to be just wearing on us heavily. All the things that we're going through is just seems to be like a heavy weight that is on us, from worrying about the coronavirus to worrying about our family and friends to worried about family members we can't get to talk to in other states other than by phone or on the computer, to all of the things going on with all of that seem to be such an incredible burden. And then now, with all of the tensions and the things going on in our nation, we're watching unfold on the news, it seems to be overwhelming. It seems to be that it wears on us, and when you get up, you're tired, and when you go to bed, you're tired, and all in the way in between, it just seems to be so impossible. It seems like life is not what we dreamed of anymore. And I know that I'm not alone, because every one of us are tired and weary, and we're not alone, because I think the whole world is growing tired and weary together about all the things that are going on. And you know, since the beginning of time, we've been in this mess called life together. And we're all intertwined, and whenever something happens in one person's life, it has a ripple effect in other people's lives around them. There are good things that happen and bad things, and it seems to weigh upon us heavily. And We go through quarantines together, and we go through teenager years together, and we go through school together, and we go through getting old together. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I said, you know what, I'm sore today. And I said, I was thinking about it, how just, 15 years ago, we cut down a huge oak tree together, and we split the wood together. And I said, that was 15 years ago when I was 35. And he goes, yeah? And he said, don't forget, I turned 70 this year. And I said, yeah, and I hurt like you do right now for some reason. And it was incredible because we go through things together, young and old, and we wade through the ups and downs of life. And we go through wins and losses and joys and pains. And, you know, right now we see how we're walking with people to the end of a life well lived. And we remember as we walk with people from a standpoint of a life cut short. But to get through all of this together, all the things that we face, we must lay aside everything that divides us and gather around what unites us. And we know, and we've been confronted daily and on a continual basis with what seems to be dividing us as people. Some people are divided by the color of their skin. Some people are divided by the economic status that they have. Some people are divided now into categories. Mask, no mask. What do we do? Some people are divided and question their gender. Some people, there's so many things that divide us. And I think we need to gather around and start gathering around what unites us. You know, I think the point we all need to start at and remember is this. We are all sinners in the hands of an angry God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, people don't like to hear that. They like to hear that God is a God of love and peace and kindness and just, come to me and sit on my lap and I'll be Santa Claus to you and I'll give you all that you want. But here's the thing. In the end, God wages an incredibly just, righteous war against sin. And every person trapped in sin that has not turned to Jesus Christ for salvation is separated from him. And we are all united in that. We're all born that way. We're all born into this world separated from him. We're all sinners, and it's kind of like there's that burgundy stripe there. And from now on, it's referred to as the safe zone. Don't come past the safe zone because the preacher spits past that a little bit sometimes. But the thing is, there's a safe zone that you have to cross with God. And that safe zone is a line written in blood, and it says, only those who have turned to Jesus by faith may cross. You see, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we struggle with that. All of us are united in that fact. It doesn't matter what color our skin is. It doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter who we're related to. We are all separated from God by sin. And we can all be united to him through Jesus Christ. And we must do all we can to work together for things to become what God desires in our lives, in our church, and in our communities, and around the world. Because what's interesting is no matter where we come from, when we surround God's word and we come to his standard, it's far above any of us. It rises so far above where we are as humans. It's a line in the sand that draws us upward. And the first thing he says, after loving me, he says, you need to love everybody around you. And you must be colorblind to do it. You must be unbiased in loving everyone. Because that's exactly what we saw with Jesus in his life. It didn't matter what they did or who they were, he loved them all the same. And that's the call for each one of us. And right now, all across our land, now more than ever, we need the church to be the church. To be the example of Christ to a Christless world. And to share the love and the forgiveness as an order of Christ, as an order of first importance, and not just as an afterthought. We need to be the light and love of Christ, and we need to shine brightly in these dark and difficult times. We need to take that challenge by Jesus seriously to love our neighbors as ourselves and to love the people of the world just like he has loved each one of us. I know we're all confused and we don't understand much of the struggles of what people of color or people of different communities or different cultures go through. We cannot identify with those who are different than us, whether it be seem to be by color or sex or sexual orientation. We have a hard time trying to empathize with those who are struggling in sin and believe differently than us. But we as individuals and we as a church have isolated and insulated ourselves from the world for so long that we and us have turned to us and them. Jesus wasn't joking when he said, go out into all the world and share the gospel with anyone you rub shoulders with. Social distancing or not, we have that responsibility. Because how do those people that are so sinful and different than us, right? How do they come to know Jesus and be saved? It's going to take the church being the church and telling them about God and his love and before they set down the bricks and the torches. And until we become the church together, loving the people around us, it's going to be impossible. But God has said, with us, it's impossible, but with him, all things are possible. And we must be ready at a moment's notice to just love people, even if they're hurting and struggling, because they're doing the best they can with what they've got and what they know. And if they don't know Jesus, they can't do better. So instead of focusing on what makes us different, we need to focus on what makes us the same. And we are all the same in the eyes and in the hands of God. Romans 3, 21 through 26. A righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes from faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at a present time, so as to be just and the only one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. You know, the big question is, how is it that we're saved? Well, we're saved because of the work that Jesus Christ has done, but the open door that is there left for us, that by faith we can come to him and be saved. And it's salvation available to everyone, to anyone. You know, it's kind of interesting. John and I were joking back and forth this morning. He came in and called me a bald-headed Pollock preacher. And I said, well, that's awful racist. He looked at me. Well, I probably got some Polish in me somewhere. And I said, I'm half German and half Polish. I can't stand myself any day of the week. It doesn't matter. And then we kind of laughed and we joked about it, because it seems like we can. Because ultimately it comes back to one thing: we love each other through Christ. That is the common ground. And you know what? He goes, well, I think I'm Irish and in Cherokee and German and, yeah, you're a mutt like the rest of us. So why is it we try to classify? See, God's got two classification: sinner and saint, lost, saved. And we need to be blind to the rest of it like he is. He's not blind to sin, any of it. But he is blind to all the things that we seem to put importance on. He desires that all men, all women would be saved. And I find it truly amazing that one of the very first miraculous conversion stories listed in Scripture for the early church is when Philip is moved by God to share the gospel with an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, I want you to understand, this is kind of like the odd couple of odd couples, because you got Philip, who, searching after God, becomes a Jewish Jewish religious person, and then becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, it's kind of unique because you got this guy who's been searching after God his entire life, and he finally gets closer and closer and closer until he meets Jesus. And then he's prompted by the Holy Spirit to go run alongside of the chariot of a powerful royal court official from Ethiopia who happens to be a eunuch. And if you need to ask your mom what a eunuch is, go ask her or look it up. Now, an Ethiopian eunuch is as far different as this Greek, Gentile, Jewish, tan dude as you can get, right? You can't get much difference than that. So what are the chances that God would bring these two people together so that this Ethiopian eunuch could be saved? 100%. And that Ethiopian eunuch went back to his country and shared the gospel that he had received with lost people just like him. You see, God takes us and our differences and sets them aside and says, come together under the gospel. Be united in the gospel. And even though they were so different in so many ways, there was something that united them. They were human beings that knew they were lacking something and not right with God. And they both were searching for God. And a Greek became a Jew and ultimately a Christ follower. And a pagan searching the scriptures for the truth about God finds him when someone dared to run alongside him. And God saved both of them in the same way. He sent his son who died on the cross and was raised from the dead. And they put their faith in him. And when someone shared the gospel, they responded. That God and the gospel is for every human soul on this planet. And there's a beautiful picture painted in Revelation about how he loves diversity and wants all to be saved. He wants every last man, woman, child, faith, so they can be saved. Because if you don't turn to him by faith, you won't be saved. All right? But in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, it says this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, tribe, people, language, all standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, no face masks, and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and the angels and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor be to the strength, be to our God forever and ever, amen." And you know, ladies and gentlemen, what's interesting is he says, people from every tribe and every nation. That means all y'all. That means everyone. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Remember that little old song that we used to sing long ago in much more diverse and difficult times than these? It needs to be one of the big ones we sing once again. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves each and every one of us. And he loves each and every one of them. And he says that we need to go to them with the gospel. Because that's when the world will be changed. And if we don't take the gospel to them, it's kind of like the poor Ethiopian eunuch said, how can anyone understand it? I don't get it. I'm no idiot. I'm not dumb. Why can't I understand? And someone had to explain it to him. And once he realized it, he said, well, why can't I be saved? He says, you can. And he leads him to the Lord. And he says, well, why shouldn't I be baptized? And he was. And you know what's crazy is our world says, don't share with them because it might get on you. And you know what? The world isn't coming to us, so we need to go to them. You know what's awesome is God in the gospel, one who is lost in sin, no matter what sin that is. Jesus Christ died for all people, no matter what color they are or where they came from, no matter what sin they have committed, his blood is able to pay the price. Black, white, red, yellow, brown, tattoos, long hair, short hair, no hair, all of us. Drunks, homosexuals, drug addicts, murderers, rapists, and molesters, all can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. It may take us longer to forgive them for what they've done, but God can provide forgiveness and freedom for everyone. Because if he can't, then he's not God. Now, some of you don't like that statement. But I know that my God and his son and his shed blood are all sufficient to forgive and free anyone who turns to him by faith. So maybe your God's a little too small. Because God can and will save and deliver anyone who honestly returns to him and repents of their sin. You know, we may not like the fact that God will forgive and save people like that because they don't meet our standards. And if that's the case, then we aren't going to like heaven at all, because it's going to be filled full of sinners who have been saved. See, what's interesting is the only perfect people that deserve to be in heaven are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All the rest of us sinners will be there because of his grace. So what is it we're supposed to do until that great and glorious day? Colossians 3 tells us this: since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And kind of like it says, parentheses, now, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Remember, I said he's an angry God that's going to deal with sin. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. I didn't have this written down. I need to throw this out there. Do you know why Christians do stupid stuff? It's because we're on this little progressive path. And until we understand how bad it hurts God and the people around us, and that Jesus had to die for us to stop doing that, we don't stop. So until we come to understand the great price paid, we're not willing to lay sin down. But when we take Jesus seriously and we love him with all of our heart, because we know that he's all we've got in this whole entire thing called life, that's when we really begin to set aside sin. That's when we say, not today. And we are renewed and we set those things aside and we grow and we become more like Jesus every day. That's why some of you look more like Jesus than your preacher does. Some of you are further down that road, and some of you have faced that struggle over and over again, and you've won. And there are things that I face that I struggle with, and I'm not winning at. I'm trying. But we need to try harder. You see, we need to get ourselves in order and quit worrying about everyone else's problems like that. We need to get our hearts and our lives right with Jesus and give him control of our lives and even control of our sins. We need to let him clean us up and get us ready for that great and glorious day when we will see him face to face. We need to get our emotions and our tongue under control, because those are some of those really, really tough ones, don't we? We get mad and we say things that we shouldn't, and we go back and we have to say, I'm sorry. If you don't like to say I'm sorry, quit getting mad and quit opening your big mouth. I'm sorry. But we need to live and we need to act and we need to think and we need to love more like Jesus and less like the world does. And we can do that when we gain God's perspective of others and remember that we once were them. Paul goes on to say, here in God's presence, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is in all, and Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Be thankful. You know, someone said that if you are a thankful person, you're not an angry person. I was like, kind of makes sense. You know what? If I do my job and I share the gospel with someone or tell them what they need to do and they don't do it, I've got one of two responses I can have. I can be like, well, you're dumb and go away. That's one. It's an honest one, right? Or it can be like when Jesus looked at the rich guy who came and said, I'm lacking something, what is it? And he gives him the answer and he walks away and says, but he still loves him. You know, the reality is we need to act more like Jesus, because not everybody follows our advice the first time, the second time, the 10th time, the 100th time. But if we fail to love them, even if they don't listen, then they will never hear us at the right time to receive the gospel from us. And if we're compassionate and kind and gentle and patient and loving towards them, then there is the high probability that they will respond favorably to the gospel. Because when we shower them with love and kindness and compassion and humility and patience versus throwing a brick at them, sooner or later they will listen instead of shutting us off. And our prayer needs to be that we need God's help to see them the way he sees them. And God doesn't see them for their differences or see us because we're different than them. He just sees us all as people created in his image who are sinners and need to be saved. And once they're saved, they need to be sanctified and go through that whole struggle of setting aside sin and walking like Jesus. They're in the middle of the struggle just like we are, and they are worth loving and walking alongside, and they're worth dying for. And we need to do whatever it takes to have peace with them and to understand them and to love them. You know, God wasn't playing around when he said in Romans 12, 17 through 21, do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful what you do is right in the eyes of everybody. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it's interesting. I met a little old lady. She's 94 years old. And everybody I talk to says she's mean. She's nasty. Nobody likes her. Jeannie's not 94, Larry. It's okay. She causes problems for everybody. We just steer as far clear of her as we can. And I was like, really? So this grouchy, mean, old, nasty, 94-year-old independent woman that was the right-hand man of three different companies and keeping things running for those companies to become successful. Independent and strong-willed woman, right? Tough as nails. Every time I see her, I roll down the window and say hi and talk to her. I smile and I do my best to be kind. I had the opportunity to give her something yesterday and share something with her and just say, this is for you. She goes, why would you do that? I said, because I'm weird and I'm trying to be nice. And she was like, okay. I'm winning. Where others have failed because they've put up fences and thrown bricks and walls, I keep doing my best to be kind and compassionate, patient, loving, and give her food, and I'm going to win. See, I don't need to repay evil for evil. God will defend me one day. And I get to sit back and watch and go, oh, that had to hurt. But I hope my heart breaks like God's does. When that day comes, and he said, okay, this is that day, the last day. And you, welcome home. And as he turns to those who have not responded by faith, to the gracious offering of love and sanctification and righteousness and forgiveness and freedom that he has offered. And he says, depart from me. I hope. My heart is broken as much as his is. Because in that moment, I know Scripture says there will be no tears and no crying and no weeping in heaven. But I guarantee you, unless the church gets its act together, there will be family and friends and neighbors going to hell and not spending eternity with us and our Jesus. So the only way we're going to win with Jesus and accomplish the monumental task before us of sharing the gospel and seeing all the world saved is to pull ourselves together and individually and as a church grab a hold of the last few verses in that passage that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish another with all wisdom,
And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Because when we do that, we will just draw people to ourselves, and then we can draw them into the building, and we can draw them into the family, and they will be saved. You see, we need to base everything in our lives on God's word and not how we feel. We need to do it for God's glory and his son who died for you and for me and for all of the world. We need to be grateful for what God has done and is doing in our life right now. And not just glad for that great day down the road, but thankful right now for everything. And we need to pass it on to every person who is lost and questioning and wondering. So ladies and gentlemen, how's that? You haven't been here in the room in a long time for me to stomp on your toes. I've been saving it up. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that God loves you. You. Not the label on you. Not the failures and the sin in the past. He loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. And that by responding by faith to him, you can be saved. I'm excited because there's this bald dude up here in the front. And a couple times now, you've been knocking on doors. You got to stop that until he says it's time. You know, several years ago, Larry had a heart attack, and they shocked you back to life how many times? This 13 times. That might be a new personal record. And then, a month or so ago, you decided to do the same thing over again, and you only got zapped 4 times? Nice. You know, I am so happy about the persistence of two groups of people. Well, 3 people. One, a little crazy wife who is able to jump up and down on your chest and do CPR. 2, some paramedics who refuse to give up on a young guy, which you seem old to me. Three, a woman and her family who persistently prayed and loved and shared the gospel with a scumbag like you, Larry. Because just like me, you've not been perfect. But you did hear and respond to the gospel. And there's going to come a time when they're going to shock you and shock you. And God's going to say, finally, come on in, Larry. It's time. But until then, you know your job and what you got to do. Go into all the world and share Jesus. Because I don't know why you're still around after all that. I know why after the first one. Because you needed to respond to Jesus. But the second one, it just tells me you got work to do. And we all do. So whether you're wearing a mask or not, get to work. So we got a lot of work to do so Jesus can come take us all home. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for second chances and third chances, 100 chances. I thank you for the persistence of people to share the gospel with people who are so different and so lost that they don't even know it. And I thank you that you, Father God, are the one who set the rules. You looked out across the earth and you saw an earth full of human souls lost and separated from you by sin. And you said, I will send my son Jesus into this world and he will die on a cross for all the world's sin. And you have said anyone of any color, any gender, any amount of sin who comes to you by faith in Jesus Christ, your one and only Son, will be saved, period. It's not up for debate. It's a matter of faith in Jesus Christ. And you have said that I will save you in the midst of your sin, and I will sanctify you through and through and walk with you until the journey is complete. Thank you for being a God who does your part. May we be a people who do our part. And if there's anyone who needs to come to you by faith today, may they do so, trusting a God who loves them unconditionally. And if we have found salvation through Jesus Christ, may we work diligently to become more and more like him. And may we learn to see people and love people just like he has. And in the end, there will be a great multitude gathered around the feet of Jesus, singing, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. Glory to the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we will do it together in the presence of our Savior, in whose wonderful name we pray, and his name is Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song. just reminded me and asked me to say thanks to everyone who was listening to emails and text messages to pray for Larry when he went down this last time and all that he's been through. And he's a little less tongue-tied after being shocked and nibbling off a little bit of his tongue and stuff like that. But he's doing well. How are you doing? I hope you're doing as well as he is, because he knows why he's alive and he knows he has a purpose, and so do we all. So before we leave, just a reminder, things are different now these days. So in the back, you'll see some offering plates on the way out. If you've remembered to bring your tithe today, toss it in the plate as you go. I know it sounds cavalier to say, but it is an incredible act of worship that we do. When we take what we've been given and blessed with by God and we put part of it back, saying we know where it comes from, and we say thank you, and that we're going to trust God to do more with 90% of what we've been given than we can do with 100%. But it reminds us of our dependence on Him, not just financially, but every day as we walk by faith with Him. So let's pray as we get ready to head on out the doors into the world. Father God, thank you so much for this family. Thank you for this church. Thank you for real people who were once lost in sin, far from you, who have turned to you by faith and have been saved. And thank you that we're real people still trying to wade out of the quagmire of sin. Help us to get out and wash us fully, so that one day we'll be clothed in beautiful robes and we'll see each other just as you do. Saints in the hands of a loving God. So until then, may we live our lives for the most for you. And may we love those around us until the whole world knows you as Jesus, their Savior and Lord. And it's in your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you. Thanks.